our hearts to the Lord through song today. Thank you, Tom, for leading our service. Wonderful time in prayer. Always encouraged in all those things as the Spirit works in our lives through those that are serving in the service to really point us to the Lord. How about the rain Thursday? That was pretty incredible, wasn't it? That was wonderful to get some rain. Just a little reminder, there's some questions in your bulletin that if you have any questions of Romans chapter 1, you want to submit them to maybe something that I would miss or something you're looking forward to in the future a little bit where we go to, give you an opportunity to just submit those questions. And there's the sermon notebooks in the back too if you want one of those. So let's begin today to dig into the book of Romans. Are you guys ready? All right, I'm pretty ready to dig into the book of Romans. So I ask you to open your Bibles to Romans 1, where we will start to look at verses 1 through 7. And one note in there on your outline there, I messed up and I didn't put the verses at the top there. The gospel is the good news. It should say Romans 1, 1 through 7. So you might want to write that in if you're keeping your notes, that thing, and reminded where we were in the text. As we start, let me tell you that Paul is enamored with getting to Rome and sharing the good news with this church. In all the word enamored means, he's enamored to share the gospel, for the gospel is good news. Now, when I say enamored, you know, in our text 1:15, it says he's eager, but I'm going into depth of all that he's taught here and all that he says. It's more than eager, it's kind of obsessed. It's all that he can think about, it's all that he can talk about, it's all that he can focus on. It's just consumed him, the good news of Jesus Christ. It kind of does that, doesn't it, Tom? He wants to share it with them, he wants to talk to them about it, he wants to teach them that. And like I said, to the Corinthians he said, I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I do all things for the sake of the gospel. He's enamored with it. And I'm going to say this quite a bit, but when I say he's enamored to share the good news with this church in Rome, it's more than just that Christ died for our sins, that his blood paid our ransom, which is incredible truth, that God raised him from the dead so we could have new life. The basics of the gospel, that whoever would believe in the Son, whoever would believe in Christ, will not perish but have eternal life. The good news of the gospel that saves, like he would say in 1:17, 1:16 here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. It's not that that isn't great news and good news and he wants to share, but the people that he's going to share with already are believers in Christ. He's writing to us, okay? Let's just put it that way. God's writing to us. Paul's writing to us, and he says, I want to get there, and I'm enamored with telling you about the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, we would say, well, yeah, we got the good news. We believe in Christ. He wants to teach the depth of the good news. He wants to go way down deep for us to have an understanding, a deep understanding of all the good news that it is. He's enamored with it. Because our life changes as the deeper we go in understanding of who God is, why he came, what he did, and who we were, and what God has done in our life by the good news of Jesus Christ, the more that depth that comes into our life, the more we're affected with it. I want you to think with me for a moment. You know what it's like to be enamored with something, don't you? You ever been enamored with something? Kind of a theft? The only thing you can think about, do, talk about? Focus on? It can be gardening, couldn't it? None of these are relatively bad to be, you know, enamored with doing gardening. Dirt, because you got soil, we got water, we got seed, we got the fence, we got all the thing in the gardening, and I got this planted, that planted, this planted, got this going on, it's growing there, got it over here. Can you get enamored with gardening? Right? You can. It's not wrong, that kind of thing, but I want you to attach yourself to what God is talking about here. How about, you know, if you... we got some friends in our family who really like to ride horses. All the gear, all the stuff, all the brushing, all the cleaning, all that kind of stuff. It's like, wow, look at all the time they spend on that. They like that. How about any of you ever remodel your house? Oh my gosh, are you enamored? Right? Did you see the corner over there? They didn't get that corner right. It's over. Look at the tile; is a little crooked. You know what? You know how long they took to put it? It's 48 hours for them to actually do your kitchen. You'll get enamored. Right? You hear it all the time. You talk about it. You focus on it. You share everything about it. You search out its depths. You learn the details. You tell others about it all. All this is Dude, that's going on. How about politics? Some people enamored with that? Geez, they can give you an update before any news channel can. I don't know where they're getting their information, but they got it, right? How about marriage? Can you be enamored in marriage? Talk to the young married ones around here. Oh, he's so handsome. Oh, he's such a dream. Nothing wrong with it. It's good. It's all that is. And man, she's so sweet that, you know, she walks down the, you know, she walks over the grass, turns to the sugar. Enamored with each other, right? And that's all I talk about, all I focus on. It's just everything I see. It's what it is. How about a sport that you play or that you enjoy? We got some friends. Got some young people in our life, boy, you know, playing a little bit of softball and, you know, nothing wrong with it. Boy, they're sure enjoying that softball. Yeah, I got a hit to right, and then we did, you know, all the kinds of, which is great. Nothing's wrong with it in this, but I want you to grab, how about your job? You ever get enamored with your job? What are you going to do? What you're doing? All the kind of things, the only thing you talk about, think about, focus on. How about your family? Just have a baby born in the family. You guys are enamored, aren't you? How about you grandparents? Oh my gosh, aren't we pathetic? How enamored we get. Did you see it? It moved to the left. It flipped over. It smiled at me. Right? Just enamored. Look at it. So cute. Look at it. I got the shoe. You know, right? The parents talk about, you know what? It burped today. It was incredible. Oh, it did the other thing today. Oh, yeah. You know, right? Enamored. You guys understand what I'm talking about? Subject you study? You're just enamored with the whole focus. Paul is. To share the depth of the good news of the gospel. So what he does in Romans, the time that God gave him, inspired him, gave him the opportunity to lay it all out, all the depth, the deepness, the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ laid right all out there. Really deep. The richness of it all. In our introduction last week, we saw the backdrop to the whole letter, Romans, the power of the gospel. The gospel is the truth of Jesus Christ is good news, most amazing good news. And believing in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this, emanates the power of God to the saving of a soul. It emanates the power of God to the saving of a soul, but it emanates the power to giving of eternal life. It emanates the power to giving of new life, new in every sense, genuine hope, genuine purpose, real living with real meaning, real strength to deny yourself, real strength to follow Christ, real power to change and grow in Christlikeness, real strength to walk boldly with the Lord, real power and purpose to make a difference in a fallen world as salt, to influence the world of salt, and real power to be the light of Christ, real power to live in joy, contentment, and peace in the midst of a darkness, all for the glory of God. There's the depth of the truth of the gospel that Paul wants us to understand. He's enamored with us knowing the depth of the good news. It just pours out of him everywhere in this book. It pours out from the beginning all the way to the end. If you look at the first verses, he's talking about the gospel and the good news of the gospel. He's talking about it, and at the end, he closes the letter talking about it again. He's saying, if you would understand and know intimately the depth of the good news, listen to this, that we are justified, made right before God, that if you would believe and trust and know that that is true, that we are sanctified, made holy and blameless before the Lord, that God is at work in our very lives in progressive sanctification, growing and changing us along the way we live, the way we think, and the purpose that we live for to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. If we know and believe that we are no longer slaves to sin and can present our lives to righteousness and to live righteously, to live for God's great purposes, that we would know that one day we will be glorified and all that that means to be glorified. If we would understand the depth of depravity that we came from to the richness of the new life and rescue that God brought us to, selfishness, meaningless, hopelessness, criticalness, worry, fear, dejection, negativity, stress, anxiety, sinning would just fade from our lives. Paul knows this. He's lived through this. I learned to be a content in all things. How did he learn? He learned to believing and trusting in the truth of the good news of the gospel, what God does in your life as he moves, that your life, these things fade away. Uncontentment fades away because in the truth of God, in the truth of what he did in the good news, God brings you, works you into in your life to where true contentment, joy, and peace fills your life all the time. these things fade away. Jesus said it, didn't he? If you would only know intimately the truth, that truth would set you free. That's what he said. Paul's enamored with us knowing the depth of the good news. So I'm kind of infatuated with it myself as I've been studying. Really digging deep in all of this. That's the essence of his letter. Paul, but I said it this way, but really God is eager to tell us and for us to know. Brings up a question in my heart. Let me give you this question. Are you enamored with knowing the depth of the good news? Are we enamored? Is it what we talk about? Is what we think about? Is what we focus on? Now, we're enamored with many things. We've got things going on. But really, in your life, are you in your heart saying, you know, I really want to know, Lord. I really want to know the truth of the good news of the gospel, all that you did, all that is mine. I really want to understand and believe in my heart that I am justified, that I am sanctified, that you are sanctifying me in the way I live. That, man, I'm not a slave to sin anymore. That I can let those things go and I can present my members of my body to righteousness. I can live for God's great purposes. That I will be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ one day in the end of all this in the glory of the Lord. All of that. I really want to know all these truths in my heart. I want the depth of those in my heart. Are you enamored with that? So you understand it and believe it and trust God's truth and God works in your life? Now as we look at verses 1 through 7, simply Paul wants to identify himself and to who he is writing to. It's pretty interesting if you would read it. I mean, we're going to read it, but as you just look at it, you know, all he wants to do in the opening is he wants to do this. Paul, to all those who are in Rome, to that church there, that's what he's wanting to say. He's just saying, all right, it's Apostle Paul, I'm writing to you guys, all that are in the Church of Rome, that's what it is. But then he writes 7 verses to say that. Any of you write letters that way? Any of you guys want to write a letter and then it's like it's 14 pages long and all you wanted to do was ask them how they were doing? How about some of you guys that are on email? I'm kind of the more the three-liner guy. How you doing? How you been? You know, I don't even put commas and that kind of thing. I might put a little slash so you know I started a new sentence. You know, that kind of thing. I'm just not very good at it. On my phone, I like the voice thing and hey, how you doing? What do you, you know? And then I don't check it and it said something totally I didn't say. But some of us really like to write a lot. They like to communicate a lot. How many of us like to talk a lot? Hey, I got one person in here that gave me an amen on that one. But Paul is just so enamored, it just flows out. All he wants to do is say, Paul, to all those that are in Rome. But he does this thing. He identifies himself and who he is, and then he talks about the gospel a little bit, and the, you know, rich way of defining the gospel, and then he identifies who he's writing to. The good news is he's so eager to get it out. It's attached to every thought and all the truths that he has in the opening here. Like I said, he identifies himself rich with the good news of the gospel. He sticks in the promise of the good news, the person of the good news, and then he identifies the readers. That's you and me, and we're the recipients of the good news. So God is writing to us through the Apostle Paul writing his word. Listen to what Paul writes. Let's read the passage. And I want you to hear how Paul opens his letter. This is what he says. Romans 1, 1 through 7. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning a son who was born a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his namesake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, he just wanted to write Paul to all those in Rome. But then he identifies himself and then he's enamored and he gives us this, the gospel of God, which God promised before by the prophets, is concerning his son Jesus. He was born of a descendant of David, according... I mean, it's just... Can you see that he's overflowing? inspired by God. These are God's word. God is overflowing in his heart to really share the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's how he opens his letter. Let me read 1:1 again, and this is Paul identifying himself. That's what he's doing. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now, if we've been listening and paying attention, you heard his tone, didn't you? Everything is about the good news of Christ. And he identifies himself in the way I just read. Paul is a proponent of the gospel. Would you agree? I mean, he's a proponent of the good news. Listen, I wrote it this way. He's more than a preacher and a teacher of the good news. He is that. He's more than a proclaimer and supporter of the good news, although he's that. He's more than an advocate and a follower of the good news, because he's that, but he's a protagonist, a proponent, a champion of the good news, isn't he? Paul is a champion of the good news. In Galatians 6:14, he said this, "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Man, that's a champion for the gospel, isn't it? That says, you know, I've been crucified, all those things in the world, and me to the world, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to only talk to you about the cross. One commentator said it this way. He said, Paul is God's number one spokesman for the reality of the good news. So Paul writes that he is a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Do you ever wonder what that means? You might have some understanding of what that means. You might have the perfect under. You might have the truth of all of that. I don't know where you're at. But you ever think, well, what's a bondservant? Why does he say bondservant of Christ? In the simple form, he says this, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. You know, that's good news. Isn't that good news? It's good news in my life that I'm a slave of Christ, that I'm not a slave to sin anymore, that my master isn't me, it's the Lord. It's really good news. It comes from the gospel. It comes from the good news of the gospel that God changes you. In Galatians 1:10, Paul said this, if I were trying to please people, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Man, I think that's really good news too. Here Paul is writing to this church. He's putting down God's word. He says, well, I'm not going to write things to please people. If I were pleasing people, I wouldn't be a servant of the Lord. I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ. If I was teaching or preaching or sharing or doing all of those kind of things and I was making it to where it pleased people, I'm not a bondservant of Christ. God pleases people with his truth, with his way, and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not involved in this, Paul is saying. It isn't about me and people being pleased with me or liking me or any of that. You know, that's good news. That's good news for anybody that's teaching and preaching and sharing and writing and all that kind of stuff. It isn't about people. In writing this epistle and the living of his life, he is fixed in his purpose to do what pleases his master. That's what a bondservant of Christ is. To live and say what he's been told. That's good news. The meaning of the word bondservant in the original language, listen to this, is a slave. One who is in a permanent relation of servitude to another, his own will being altogether consumed in the will of another. You see why I say he's enamored? Because he's just laying down his will for the will of God. It's a bondservant of Christ. This is what he's communicating. This is who he is. That's the good news of the gospel, that you're set free from self. Remember what we said? That's the good news of the gospel, to set free from yourself, to following the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's really good news. That's the depth of the good news of the gospel. Set free from selfishness, negativity, criticalness, anxiety, stress, all that comes from following self. That's where that comes from. Do you guys know that? You know, I was talking with my wife just yesterday about that, and we were talking about it, some things that worry us, concern us, some things we might get a little angst about, those kind of things. And we would say it's not wrong to be concerned about those things. It's not wrong to have those kind of things. But, you know, really in my heart, and what God was showing me is that, but when I get stressed out over it, it's because I'm thinking about what I'm going through because it's happening. Like Tom, with what you were praying and all that, that you were sharing and all those kind of things, and what Spencer is seeing and all that. You know what gets us out of there is the good news of Christ, that we can, in the gospel, what God has done is rescued us from us following ourselves and making this world about us. That's really great rescue, isn't it? I want to get there. I'm not there. How about you? Are you there? I'm going to keep moving there. I guess I'll never get there, but I'm going to keep moving that way. Okay, so this is what Paul is getting to. So being a bondservant of Christ is he's kind of selfless. That's what God is working. In continuance of identifying himself, he states that he is called as an apostle. He just says, man didn't call me. Man didn't determine this. God determined this. Apostle, we could spend a lot of time, but let me give you something simply so we understand what it means to be called as an apostle. Can you turn your Bibles with me to Galatians 1:1? Galatians 1:1. So we got a bondservant of Christ. He's subservient, he's servitude, you know, his will, laying down, you know, like Christ. You know, Christ said, you know, hey, can you take this cup from me? I mean, I don't want to go to this. You know, my will doesn't want to do this. I would understand that, Christ in the flesh. I don't want to do that, but Lord, whatever, Father, your will be done. There's a process in that in all of our lives, becoming more and more, but we can be bondservants of the Lord because of the good news. Now, he's called as an apostle, and it wasn't men that did this. Now, I want you to look at Galatians 1:1. Paul wrote here, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man. Man didn't send him, the agency of man didn't make him apostle. No man makes anybody an apostle. Jesus picked the apostles, Jesus picked this apostle. They set him out. The one that replaced Judas, God led them pick him out. There's those guys, that's it. He said this, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, it's pretty incredible what he says. Paul was called as an apostle by the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's back in Acts 9. I'd like you to stay in Galatians and just let me tell you about it because I want to pick up some things here. But Paul was called as an apostle by the resurrected Jesus Christ. In Acts 9, he tells the story about it. It starts in verse 3. He says, and he, Paul, was traveling. It happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, Paul was persecuting the church. He was killing Christians. He was getting from the synagogue papers to saying, okay, you guys are all saying you're Christians. I got the papers. Okay, Harold, you're on the paper here. All right, let's go, Harold. We're going, buddy. And he'd come and he'd get him. He was coming and getting the whole church. Hey, that kind of worked a little weird, didn't it? But that's what he was doing. He's not coming to get you. But that's what was going on. And so verse 5, and he says, and Paul says, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Verse 6, but get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Whoa. The resurrected Christ. Gets up, can't see. Verse 10, there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, which is Paul now, for he himself is praying. So Paul's praying to the Lord, to God, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. So Paul's seeing that, all right, I'm going to get my sight back. The Lord told me to go into the city. That's what I did. I went to the city. This is what I must do. The Christ, the one that was crucified, the one I'm persecuting him. That's not what I want to do here. He's real. He's true. Ananias says, what in the world are you thinking, Lord? That guy is just killing Christians. I'm not going. I'm paraphrasing, right? All right, Lord, you a little messed up there? This guy's killing us all. The Lord says to him, go, for he is chosen. Paul is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. For I will show the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Go. Well, he went, didn't he? Paul reiterating the story in chapter 22 of Acts. He's telling the story. It'd be a good story to tell quite a bit, wouldn't it? Probably told it a lot, just, probably told everybody. I met the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I did. He came down, this is what I'm going to do. But he's reiterating the story in chapter 22, verse 12, and he says this, a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of law and well spoken by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near to me, said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time, I looked up at him. Hey, I see. Listen to this. And Ananias said this, the God of our fathers has appointed you, Paul, to know his will and to see the righteous one, that's Jesus Christ, and to hear utterances from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men in what you have seen and heard. Now drop back to Galatians with me and look at Galatians 1, 11 and 12. I want you to see this. Paul writes in Galatians 1, 11 and 12, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what he just said? All that he's writing in Romans, all that he's teaching about the death of the gospel, all that he's talking about the gospel, and all that God is, that Paul is enamored with, and he's going to teach us the richness, the depth of the good news of what God did in our salvation in Christ, all of that, he said, no man taught me it, Jesus Christ told me it. He laid it all out for me, showed me how I was going to suffer, showed me how it was all going to be. He's going to walk with me through it. He's never going to leave me, forsake me. But you know what? God has given Paul revelation to tell us and to write in Romans the good news of the gospel and the power of the gospel and the salvation and the depth of it. And he got it directly from Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important as we go through this, Romans 1, as we teach on this, that we stay true to the text, that we let God say what it says, whether it's difficult, whether it's challenging, whether it's confronting, whether it's hard, because it's the truth. Now, we would say, yeah, this is God's word. We want to honor the truth. But the emphasis here that I want to make is Paul was a chosen instrument of God, called by God, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, in maybe no other way than any other person, getting instruction. And then God gives him the opportunity to write to the church in Rome the depth of the good news, and he put it all down what Jesus taught him. That's why our theology or our understanding or our thoughts or our wants or our idiosyncrasies or our preferences don't matter in the Word of God. We only want to know what's true. We want Jesus to teach us the good news of the gospel, don't we? I don't want to try to fit it into pleasing man. I don't want to try to make it fit my thinking. I just want to let God say what he says and then come each week and lay out for what God has said. For in it, selfishness, negativity, critical spirit, anxiety, stress, hopelessness, and understanding it and trusting in it will fade away. Because God will minister to his church. He will minister to the body of Christ. So Paul is in a bondservant of Christ. Paul is an apostle called by God, taught directly by the Lord Jesus Christ, and God had set him apart. Listen to what it says back to Romans 1. Set apart for the gospel of God. Separated, that's a good word. Divine calling, divine sovereignty separated him. Galatians 1, 15 and 16, Paul wrote this, but when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through the grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's an incredible statement that Paul would say. In my mother's womb, God set me apart. But then God allowed me to be a person that was being led by the prince of the power of the air and walk according to the course of the world and actually kill Christians. But I was set apart in my mother's womb, and then God called me through his grace, and then he was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Let me tell you, that's good news. That's my good news. That's your good news. That God had been working your life, that he called you to himself. He's been set apart to teach it deeply. He's been an apostle with authority. Jesus revealed it to him to teach its depth. I'm just a slave of Christ. I want to hear from that guy, don't you? I mean, just what I said, I know it's God's word and we want to hear God's word and we want to, and that kind of thing. But as you lay that out and he's writing to the people in Rome, do you think they just went, wow, I wonder, let's read the rest of the letter. I want to hear from him. I want to hear from God. Now, as I've been talking about this, my hope is that you've been connecting in your mind the truths to your own salvation. For these principles of good news apply to our lives. We've been set apart. We've been called. We're not apostles. And we're bondservants. Paul brings up that later, so I'm going to go there when it's there in the rest of the text. Sometimes as I've been going through and studying people, some commentaries and some other guys that have preached and that kind of thing, they gave two more messages right here on how we're bondservants and how we've been set apart. And we can do that, but he talks about it later. And then they always refer to it. Well, and then over here in Romans 8, Romans 6, this is, and it's like, well, I'm just going to wait till we get there to talk about that. But hopefully it's ministering to your heart. You're connecting this. The Spirit of God is revealing to you the good news of the gospel that has happened to you and that God has worked in your life to set you apart for him, that called you to himself. And you are a bondservant of the Lord. So Paul is a proponent of the good news, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. That's what we covered. And then when he writes the gospel of God, look at verse 1 with me. He writes those words, the gospel of God, and immediately by the Spirit, now he has to, instead of, okay, here I am, all right, let me write to all those who are in Rome, let me identify you and give you the grace to you and peace from God our Father. He goes, and because he's so enamored with it, that tells us the promise and the person of the good news. It's the most unique thing to put in a letter. You know, that would be a unique thing when you did email, that you'd write in there, hey, this is who I am and that kind of thing, and I've been doing this, been doing that, and so you mentioned, you know, the gospel's so good, now just write a little thing about the gospel. And so how are you, and that kind of thing. I mean, that would mean it would be on your heart, right? That would mean you would be kind of focused on it. And that's what he does. He gives us the promise, and he gives us the person of the good news. He brings that right, he puts that right on in there. Listen to verse 2 through 4. Listen to what he says. Now, I'll start in verse 1. The gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his holy prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus our Lord. Boy, he gives such a concise understanding of the good news of Jesus Christ, the one that saves, that Christ came in the flesh, that he died, he was crucified, and then he was raised again for your forgiveness of sin. He puts it really concise there. But at first he says, this is the promise. Listen, the promise of the good news was promised from the very beginning. Hey, God promised this beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. God's words talked about this all the time. Paul's saying this is not a new good news, this is old good news. He wrote to Titus, he said, the hope of eternal life God promised long ages ago. Peter said, listen to this, this is what Peter wrote about this. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 1:10 through 12. He said, as to the salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. Listen, so the prophets of the Old Testament that were writing the Word of God, they were making careful searches about the fullness of your salvation, about the fullness of the good news of what comes to you in the full revelation of your salvation. It says, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. How would you like to write 1,200 years ago about the good news of Jesus Christ, about the revelation of salvation and all that God is going to do 1,200 years earlier, and God's showing you that, and you're writing that, and you're careful in searching it, and God says, oh yeah, but Christ is coming way down there, and really the ones that are going to be involved in that are you guys. And they realized they were serving you. And what they were putting in the Word of God about the promise of the good news of Christ. And then he says this, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. We get to hear the word of God. We get to hear the truth of God. You heard the gospel because the Holy Spirit sent people to proclaim the good news in this world, to proclaim the death, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God at work, which angels long to look at. See, this is a promise that God has started a long time ago. Genesis 3:15, to be exact, right? But listen to Peter in Acts 3 in his second message. Just stay where you're at in Romans for me. This is the promise of the good news. Second sermon Peter preaches. I listened to my second one on purpose. It wasn't this good. I wish I would have took this text and went there, you know, but it was, you know what I did in seminary? I had to do some things on prayer. I had to write all these papers on prayer. I had to pray. It was required of the class that I pray for an hour and a half every day. It was a prayer class. This is what we were learning. And then so as we went through it all, I had to write two papers that you could preach as a message. Okay, I remember we were doing youth ministry. And so I preached the first one on prayer, and you know, and my this is first year in seminary. First year? Yeah, second semester. And so the second one, we're taking the youth to Shaver Lake, and so, you know, everything's ready, all the cars are packed, everything's done, we're ready to go. They're already up there. I'm the last straggler coming in. I preached on prayer. That was the second message, the second on prayer. Then one of my brothers that loved me, and I know he loves me, and he still loves me, he came up to me, and he just said, you know, God's got a work to do. He does. And, you know, I really appreciate that. Now I got off on that rabbit trail, but that's okay. But listen to Peter's second sermon. Acts 3, verse 22 and following. He said, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the prophets who have ever spoken, from Samuel and all his successors onward, also announce these days. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's you. That's me. You are the sons and daughters of the prophets and the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's us. That's the promise. It came in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's here. It was promised long ago. It's not new news. It's been old news. It's what's been happening. The promise of the good news arrived in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. Verse 3 and 4, concerning a son who was born of the descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. You get to have to think with me for a moment what Paul's saying. Thousands of years before you were ever thought of, God was at work in this world, bringing the promise, knowing the time that you would be here, and called you in your mother's womb. Called you to himself, pierced your heart with the truth of the gospel in the time of life when that pierced your heart. God's sovereign over all of that. And it's through the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Son of God was the second person of the Trinity before he came. He was God before he became the incarnate God, the incarnate Christ. God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Son of God was born of virgin, descended of David. That's how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of only begotten of the Father. We saw the glory of God, John 1:14. In his life and death and resurrection, he was declared by God as the Son of God. It proved that he was the Son of God. He said, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. I'm going to die and I'm going to raise in 3 days, and everything I teach is true. Me and the Father are one. He said all this over and over and over and did the miracles and all of that, and he was born. He was like, he's born of Mary, though. This guy's from Nazareth. You know, can any good thing come from Dukor? Remember that? Right? And all that kind of stuff. And he said, I'm God. I am God. I am God. I am God. And then he died 3 days later. And then God raised him from the dead. And there he was. And now the gospel, the good news has come forth if you put your faith in him. He's God incarnate. He's the incarnate Christ. All the way God, all the way man. That's the truth, what we believe. Romans 8, 2, 3, and 4 say this. Let me read it to you. Listen to what Paul writes later. He says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the one you put your faith in, the one you trusted in, the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's good news. It's in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's so good news because the law of the Spirit, the life in Christ Jesus, and you believing in him set you free from the law in this world of sin and death. The law, if you're a sinner and not forgiven, you're going to die. You're going to go eternally to hell. You're not going to know any of the new life that God has for anybody. This is just true. This is what it is, the depth of the gospel. For what the law could not do, weak as it, the law of God, God's holy word, and in keeping of the law, what it could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, it was weak because we couldn't keep it. God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law, listen to this, the law of God, all the requirements of the law of God, might be fulfilled in us. You know the good news of the gospel, that you believe in Jesus Christ? You know what the good news is? When you put your trust and faith in him, the requirement of the law is filled in me. Because I'm in Christ. I fall short, I sin, I do the things that God doesn't want me to do. God's at work in my life, but you know what? The requirement of the law, I stand holy and righteous before God, because when he sees me, Pete, you hear the analogies, he actually sees Christ. Because what God did by the good news of the gospel, what God did, he made the requirement of the law be fulfilled in you. Through Jesus Christ. I'm the best Pharisee. I keep them all. No, I don't, right? But it positionally, as God sees us, that's depth of good news. I'm not trying to live this life trying to fulfill a law so God will accept me. He accepts me like Christ, and Christ fulfilled every law perfectly. So in the righteousness of God, in the righteousness of him, justified, all that we're going to look at, that's incredible what God is saying in the promise that came through the Son. Through faith in the person and work of the gospel, of the good news of the gospel, faith in the gospel, me and you are the recipients of his offered salvation, recipients of the good news of Christ. We're going to dig into that a little bit next week. But then we're going to fill it out in the next years to come as we see it all the way through Romans. What are the recipients of the good news? What do they have? So we'll end with this. Are your Bibles in Romans 1? I'm kind of stuck on the word enamored, but it did when I was studying this and going through this. Look at verse 4. Look at the end of the verse. As I tore that apart, and I could teach, well, anyway. The last four words, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Be good to put in your Bible, right, my Lord, right there. Paul is referring to him and to those he's writing to, the Christians, and, you know, Jesus Christ is our Lord. And as I looked into that, do you know what Jesus means? It means Savior. Christ means anointed one, and Lord means sovereign ruler. So Savior, anointed one, sovereign ruler. He's mine. He is Jesus because he saved you from your sin. He is Savior because he did. He is Christ because he is the anointed one of God as king and priest. He's Christ because he intercedes on our behalf as a priest. He's already entered into the veil and all of those kind of things that we could go into. And he's the King of kings and Lord of lords, but he is king. He is ruler over it. He is Lord because he is God, sovereign ruler of the universe, and me and you. Can there be any other greater news? Think about your life. Think about you in this world that you live and the rest of the world and what they live and what's all going on and what's been going on. The one that was tortured, beaten, crucified to pay the penalty of your sin was raised to be king and sovereign ruler of your life, our life, and he rules the earth if you put your faith in him. That's God himself for us. Just let that sink into your heart today. Christ Jesus our Lord. By the grace of God, he has become, through the gospel, the good news of Christ, he has become my Savior, my King, my Lord, and he rules over it all. You know, I used to think I was ruler. I used to think I was ruler of my life leading me. It led me to destruction, to eternal death, to selfishness, to a bunch of lists of bad things I wrote there. And when I follow me today, when I follow myself today, when I don't submit myself to the ruler of this life in me, it leads me to those things too. I'm no longer ruler, Jesus is, and I don't want it back. I take it back. You guys would agree, right? We do, right? We think we are at times. But Christ Jesus, my Lord, is ruler of my life, King of my life, Savior of me. Best thing that ever happened to me. It's the best thing that ever happened to anyone. And if you're here today and he's not king, if he's not savior, if he's not ruler of your life, and you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you understand it a little bit, you know it's the church kind of thing, it's what the Christians believe, and all those kind of things, whatever it is, if God is calling you, if God is piercing your heart, if he's, you know, kind of speaking to your heart, God is wanting you to respond. That's the crux in this salvation, the work of God and the willing heart. And there's no formula in a sense. There's no perfect thing to do. What it is in your heart for you to, in your way, to acknowledge that God, you are God, and that you had sent a Savior, and it's Jesus Christ. And the truth of your word piercing my heart, that I'm a sinner, and if I'm not saved, it's eternal destruction, and it's not even worth living in the flesh in this life as an unsaved person. It's just whatever it might be with you. And you just come to him and say, I recognize who I am and I recognize who are you. And you know, it's in your heart and in your mouth. Confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. It's a work of God piercing your heart. And if that's you today, I just encourage you to just cry out, call out to God. And the good news of the gospel is that he accepts all who seek him. Period. We know that to be true, don't we? Would you pray with me as we close? Heavenly Father, we know your word is full of rich truth and wonderful truth, and is the lamp unto our feet, and this is the truth to live by, and as we know the truth sets us free. It's really our relationship with you comes through the word of God, the Bible. For us to understand who you are and who we are, we need to dig into this word and let it say what it says, and help us ask you to help us understand what it says and then apply it to our life. As Paul wrote in Corinthians, you know, we have our own ideas, we have our own things that we think of, we have our own, oh, I can't even think of the words at the moment, but I just know, Lord, that sometimes we get stuck there. We get stuck in just thinking we're wise or thinking we've got it figured out and not letting you be God. So I just pray as we go through Romans here, Lord, it just would bless us, that it would encourage us, that it would fill us with truth and knowledge of you and intimacy and relationship with you, that we would believe and trust all that you have said, that we'd submit our lives to those things that are in it, that we would be encouraged and bring contentment and peace and joy into our life, that we would live for the purposes that you have as you would guide and lead us from who we were to who we are by the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm blessed today to be able to share your word. I'm thankful, Lord, for the people that you've put in my life. You've truly blessed me overwhelmingly, Lord, with just a blessing of being part of this church family. We thank you for ministering to us today and for us being able to gather together to worship you. We pray, Lord, that we would go forth encouraged and strengthened for this day and be a light to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise God for today.